This weekend, this week we celebrate Vocations Awareness Week, so we're thrilled to have a couple guests with us today. We have two seminarians from the Archdiocese who are here, and one of them, Mike, will speak at the end of Mass, so we certainly welcome them here. They drove a long way to get up here from Cincinnati, so we're pleased to have them here today. Our readings focus on the virtue of generosity this morning. In the first reading, we have a drought that's going on in Israel. And this goes on for several years. And we come across this widow, and she's gathering up some sticks to cook her last meal with her son. They have a little bit of flour left, a little bit of oil, and as she says, we're going to eat this food, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says to her, okay, but cook something for me first. Let me eat first. And then I promise you, that the flour will not run out and the oil will not run out until rain comes on the earth. So, and the widow does it. She gives her last bit of food to the prophet Elijah, and then the Lord provides for her. So we see this tremendous act of generosity, and then in the gospel, we have another widow who gives two coins, her entire livelihood, all the money that she has, she offers them to the temple. I think there is a spirit of selfishness that's sweeping through our culture. You know, people are constantly focused on themselves, and it's kind of a consumer mentality. You know, people want to buy things. They want the latest cars. They want nice homes. They want vacations, all the latest technology. They want to be constantly entertained, and they're constantly focused on what I can get for myself. You know, what's going to make me happy? What can I buy with this money? And a lot of times, if they think about God at all or the needs of the church, it's as an afterthought. They'll just give what's left over to God, if anything. And we contrast that with the spirit of generosity, which the readings call us to today. And so I want to delve into the spirituality behind generosity. And if we look at this widow in the gospel, what motivated her to give those two coins, all that she had? What motivated her to give that to the temple? And I think that the simple answer to that is the love in her heart. She loves God above all things. And when she has a decision of what to do with her two coins, she wants to give them to the Lord. Her love is for the Lord more than for herself. And so the foundation of generosity is love. If there's love in our heart, we're going to be generous. You know, what we do with our money, with our time, with our resources is going to follow what's in our heart. And so her generosity was motivated by love. And so I think it's a good question to ask ourselves, what's the first thing that we spend money on? What's the greatest desire in our hearts? Are we doing things out of selfishness, or are we doing things out of generosity and giving first to the Lord? Now, ultimately, God doesn't need our money. And I think he's doing just fine without our money. You know, he's the all-powerful creator of heaven and earth. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't need our money. If he wants, he could just will it, and all the money in the world would be his. So he really doesn't need our money. And one way or another, he's going to provide for his church. If he wants the church to be provided for, he's going to provide for our needs. So generosity, we don't do it for God's sake. It's for our sake that our Lord calls us to be generous, because it's a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. Are we people of love who put others before ourselves, or are we selfish people who put ourselves before others? And so generosity is meant to open up our hearts. It's something that our Lord calls us to do, to open our hearts. And ultimately, the Lord has given us everything that we have. He's created us. He's brought us into existence. And our destiny is to spend eternity with him. And so if we truly love him, then our generosity should follow that. I want to pull a story from the Old Testament to kind of illustrate the importance of generosity. If we go all the way back to the beginning of creation with Cain and Abel, the children of Adam and Eve, they both made a sacrifice. Abel was a shepherd, and it says that he offered the firstlings of his flock as a sacrifice to the Lord. He gave the first and the best to to the Lord. And the Lord was pleased with his sacrifice, and he accepted it. Cain was a farmer. He kept the first fruits for himself, and he gave God just some of the produce. So he didn't give God the best, and God rejected his sacrifice and told him, if you do well, I will accept your sacrifice. But I warn you that sin is at your door. And Cain doesn't listen to the warning. And so he ends up, as we know the story ends, he kills his brother and, you know, sets himself on a path directly opposed to God. And so we see the contrast between Abel, who gave generously the first and the best to God, versus Cain, who withheld it for himself. The Old Testament custom was to tithe, meaning people would give 10% of their income to the Lord, and not just any 10%, but the first 10%. And I think the spirituality behind that is important, because what that does is, no matter what our job is, if we're a farmer, we're a teacher, we're an accountant, no matter what our job is, if we're giving 10%, the first 10% is an offering to God, that means that whatever profession we're in, we're doing that to honor and glorify God. It sanctifies, it makes holy whatever profession we're in. If we're farmers, we're farming first and foremost for God. It becomes an act of prayer and an act of holiness when we do that. I was talking to somebody, a parishioner a while back, who didn't used to tithe. And they were talking to someone who did tithe. And this person said to him, try it for 6 months and see what you think. Just give it a shot. And after they tried tithing for 6 months, it did force them to reorder their priorities a little bit and what they were spending money on. But they saw tremendous blessings come into their lives. You know, it opens up our hearts in a different way. We become generous people. We don't think about ourselves as much. And they said that they saw incredible blessings come upon their family in so many different ways that they don't want to stop tithing. They're like, yeah, we don't want these blessings to stop. So we're going to keep tithing. And so I challenge each one of us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we being generous? Who are we placing first in our lives? And the Old Testament law is tithing. The New Testament law is a little more demanding. It's simply the law of generosity, because some people can probably afford to give more than 10%. And so we can't just stop at 10% if we can afford to be more generous than that. So the New Testament law is to be generous. And generosity goes beyond finances. It also applies to how we use our time. There is a rule that applies in the business world and in the church world. It's the 80-20 rule. I'm sure some of you have heard of that. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And 20% of the people do the 80%. Did I get that right? I think I did. So the 80-20 rule. So 20% of the people are doing the vast majority of the work. So a question to ask is, are we being generous with our time and volunteering for the needs of the church when those needs come up? And there's constantly needs in different ways that we can volunteer with the church. It applies to our vocation, because every one of us is called to a vocation in life. And we're called to respond generously to that. With the sacrament of marriage, we're called to be generous in welcoming life into the world. And having children, so many people today treat children as a burden and something that they want to avoid. And so they contracept their children out of existence instead of being open and generous to welcoming life into the world. God is generous. He wants the world to be filled with life. And every new life is a blessing. So married couples are called to be generous in openness to children. When our young people, some of them will be called to vocations, to the priesthood and religious life. We're called not to ask ourselves, what do I want to do with my life? But first and foremost, to say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? To be generous and be willing to sacrifice ourselves for others. So every vocation, whether it's a single life, the married life, priesthood, religious life, it's a call to generosity. So I think the old saying sums it up well. God, country, self. How do we order things? Are we ordering things properly? Or perhaps do we need to reevaluate what's important and where we're dedicating our time and our resources?